before we go on with the sermon, it's good to have Jay back again from St. Croix. And I'll let you introduce the young lady standing next to you, although most of us already know who you are. But I asked Jay to give just an update. Jay, as you may recall, and Sharon were in St. Croix two weeks ago or so. And so I asked him to share this morning just on some of the things that they're seeing and some of the things we're preparing for. So.
Well, good morning. I'd like to introduce my granddaughter, Hannah, and that's why Sharon and I had went down to St. Croix to bring the girls home, Hannah and Sophia. Sophia's in her class, just to get them back into homeschool. Very grateful. There's a young family here in Mount Joy. Sarah Zorn is doing the homeschooling with the girls. So I'm just going to let Hannah share a couple words of what it was like, you know, during the hurricane.
Okay, so it was kind of scary, but when we found out that there was going to be a really big hurricane coming, we all started to not freak out, but start getting like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? So we just like prepared and by like shuttering the windows and putting sandbags over doors, the normal things you would do if there was a flood or something. And so, yeah, we did. And then the day the storm came, we were all up in, most of you know, the big building that we call the Great Room. We were in that building. We had all our stuff that, most of just our valuables, because we were like, well, we can't take much. So just of all of our valuables. And then we, like, slept and talked and just basically hung out until the storm started to get really bad. Once it started to get really bad, we still stayed and tried to sleep, which no one really did except Sophia. But anyway, we just all stayed and hung out, and yeah. And then it was around 12 or something? 1 o'clock. It was 1 o'clock, and it started to get really bad. The wind started to pick up, maybe 180 to 220, and like really bad. And then the dining room roof started to come off, and so everyone freaked out, because if the dining room came off, then maybe a great room roof would come off, and so we didn't know what was happening. So we all ran downstairs, grabbed all our stuff, and ran downstairs, and downstairs we just tried to sleep some more, and it was really hard to sleep downstairs, though, because the pressure was really bad. It was, like, hurting really bad, and so we just...
Head pressure.
Yeah, your pressure in the ears and stuff. And anyway... And then we just tried to sleep, and then it started to flood downstairs, like bad, up to our knees. And so we were like, well, we can't stay down here anymore. So we had to go right back up just to see if there was even a roof there. And if not, we were just going to have to stand in the pouring rain, I guess. But thankfully, the great room roof was there. And so we just stayed there the rest of the day until we knew it was safe to go out. But other than that, then once we got out, once it became daylight, everything was gone, basically. It was really sad because everything, like all the trees were cracked or bent or no leaves or anything. It was just, yeah, everything.
There was a thought I had there when they asked, oh, what are some of the things that YWAM is doing, Youth with a Mission is doing now? One of the things you're going to home. FEMA is bringing a lot of meals into the island. And what?
Emery's.
Okay. But a lot of the older people cannot handle the meals that FEMA brings in because they're diabetic and so forth. And one thing YWAM is doing particular is going once a week and making meals for this old people's home. And they look forward to the girls. They're going to miss the girls now because they're not there. But it was just, they are reaching out. You know, it's a time where they end up, you help one another. I knew what I was going to say when you said the winds were up at 180 to 220. Jason said that when they dropped to 130, you thought the storm was over. When the winds dropped from 180 to 130, you thought it was over. But that's what it's saying. The head pressure of a storm like that was just almost unbearable. So
There's a quote I just remembered that actually was very good, like, throughout the storm. It says, the quote, I don't know who wrote it. I found it in a coloring book. It said, don't tell God how big your storm is. Tell the storm how big your God is.
Amen. You can go sit down. Yeah. So, yeah, it was when Sharon and I went down here a couple weeks ago, it was difficult. Just want you to know it is difficult. And one of the challenges to you in praying, you have the bookmark, and I appreciate Jenna Espenshade making that bookmark and putting it in the bulletins. But helping you pray, you know, we all have busy lives, but helping you pray, turn your electric off for 24 hours. Start your lawnmower up next to your window. But turn your house up to 90 degrees before your electric is turned off. And then set your lawnmower right outside the window. And so that gives you a little idea. You will know what to pray for when you turn your electric off. The conveniences of that are gone. There's no internet, minimal internet, I should say. It's starting a couple spots downtown and starting to come back. But with no electricity, I mean, it is difficult. So what happens is the emotions run very thin. That's what you can pray for the strength. They have a young team of staff there with YWAM, and Jason and Vanessa are trying to remain strong because everybody has their days where it just doesn't go well. When you wake up every morning and see the destruction that has taken place on the island, and you're seeing pictures on the media of Puerto Rico also, it gets very discouraging. It gets old very fast. So, yeah, pray for them in that. I talked to the head of the Port Authority at St. Croix, and there's 800 electric poles coming, being shipped in right now, 800. The docks are full, the docks are damaged, the docks are full of containers, but they're also damaged, so the process, 10 times slower to do anything, 10 times slower. So it's going to be a long recovery. It's a long process of recovery. So what can you do? They do have food. I have seen, and I know God is multiplying the food that they have. I know God is faithful, you know, and through situations like this. Things that you could do on a small scale would go to Home Depot. The Home Depot down there is operating. It's one of the few stores. Thank goodness it was not looted. But the when you go to your Home Depot, pick up a $100 gift card. Put it in a card. Send it by snail mail. You can't send it by the internet or Facebook. There's minimal. Once in a while they have it, but seldom. But send a gift card to them for that they can buy some supplies. I'm shipping, when Sharon and I went, we took boxes and stuff, a lot of supplies along. It was like Christmas for them. It was when I saw the smiles of the kids of the Christmas Child, you know, Operation Christmas Child, those smiles. That's what I saw with the team down there, you know, when we got there with the supplies. You know, we took a lot of LED lanterns along. We took some solar lights along, different things like that. So they do have clean water. They do have food. They are adjusting to it, but it is a long recovery, going to be a long recovery. So as for teams going down, right now, they need skilled help with the limited resources. It's skilled help for now until Christmas at this point. The teams will be, I'll get an insert for the bulletin. My son, Jared, is going to be coordinating a lot of teams going down probably January, February, March, even through the next year of rebuilding, recovery, that type of thing. The process is, I mean, it's going to be a slow, to get back to normal, it's probably going to be at least a year, 18 months away before you get back to anything normal. So pray for Jason and Vanessa. Last week we were out of Pittsburgh with our daughters at Pittsburgh. We went to a church out there, and I can't take credit for this, but the pastor said the badness in our circumstances does not change the goodness of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the badness in our circumstances does not change the goodness of God. So God is faithful. He is faithful to living hope here. When I look at, when I see the needs of all the needs right now in the world of relief and recovery needs, and I see the needs of our budget, our own budget here in-house, you know, God will be faithful to us. God will be faithful to them. You know, it'll take time, you know, for the recovery and so forth, but we serve a faithful God, and he is still good.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jay. Let's just pray. Let's just take a moment now. Father, we pray for Jason and Vanessa. God, I believe that, well, I mean, it's obvious. This storm is no surprise to you. You've known about this particular storm and this particular event since creation, before creation, God. So you have ordained Jason and Vanessa and the team that is with them to be on that island at this time as part of their ministry. They didn't sign up for this. This wasn't really what they planned to do for the latter part of 2017 and probably most of 2018. They had other things that were on their heart, but God, you've thrown a little curveball here and you're redirecting their paths for this next season. But I pray, God, that you would give them wisdom, anoint them with your power, strengthen them for this time. We pray for just the difficulty of getting up every morning. God, protect their attitudes, protect their unity as a staff, and continue to provide what they need, God. We just stand with them this morning. We lift them up to you. Be with Hannah and Sophia as they're here, away from mom and dad for this short season, just getting some schooling here. Bless them. And Jay and Sharon and Jared and Audra and others who are staying in close contact and helping them discern next steps. We lift this whole situation up to you. You are a mighty God. You are stronger than any storm. You speak peace to the storm. And now we ask you to speak peace after the storm. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right.
Let me just, another.
I turned it off again. There you go.
Another thought I had there. If, get to the post office, you know, they don't have the snacks, things like that. It's just the bare minimum of food and so forth. You get the post office, get one of the flat boxes, your small or medium flat box, fill it with some snacks, send it to them. That's a tremendous encouragement to them. You know, that having those snacks come in, and it's very simple with the flat rate boxes at the post office. So, yeah, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jay. Thanks. Before I move on to the sermon, I want to do one other thing yet, just briefly. If anybody has a testimony specifically from 2 weeks ago when Mike was preaching, Molly and I were away, you know, we've been talking about spiritual gifts, obviously, and we've really been emphasizing, the Lord has been highlighting how spiritual gifts must flow out of a spiritual life. And taking God seriously, walking with him, surrendering to him, walking in obedience. But at the end of Mike's sermon, he gave a specific challenge for people to begin, or if you haven't begun, to start taking from 30 to 60 minutes a day to spend with the Lord, however that looks like. Bible time, I mean, reading the word, prayer, whatever. And I just thought, I have to give an opportunity just to see if anybody has a brief testimony about taking Mike up on that challenge and what the experience has been like. Anybody? I'm not going to wait forever, but is there anybody that has a short testimony about that? Just wanted to give opportunity. All right. Okay. All right. Well, let me repeat that. Let me repeat that challenge. That is clearly something that God is highlighting at Living Hope right now. The elder team is on that same page. We've been challenging each other to higher levels than that of time with the Lord each day, spending time in prayer. We want to make sure that whatever we do, we are doing by the empowerment of God, by his leading, by the power of the Spirit, and not in our own strength. And the less prayer is a part of our lives, the more we are operating in our own strength. It's just that simple. The less prayer and time with the Lord, the less that is part of our lives, the more we are working and walking and serving in our own natural strengths. So I have two parts to the message this morning, part one and part two. We'll see if we get to part one, put to part two. I'm not sure if we will or not, but let's dive in and see how this goes. Again, if this would be your first Sunday here, welcome. It's good to have you here. We have been, for a number of weeks now, looking at spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. I shared this definition a couple weeks ago. A spiritual gift is a gift of God's grace given to every Christian in different forms, not in any way because of our merit, but given to us for use in serving, blessing, and benefiting others in the church and in the world around us. So this morning, we're going to go again to 1 Corinthians 12. We've been there several times, kind of emphasizing different pieces, and we'll do that again this morning. So I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read, starting at verse 7 down through 11. Verses 7 through 11, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the means of that same Spirit. To another, faith by that same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Now, we've read that before, but my title for part one, as you've probably already seen this morning, is what about those gifts? What about those gifts? And by those gifts, I mean the ones I just read. You might be aware of this, but among Christian circles, broader Christian circles, if you would take the Christian, all the different Christian denominations, this particular list of gifts in Romans 12 weirded some people out. I don't know how else to say it. I shouldn't start by saying it that way. What I should say is not all Christians are equally convinced that this particular list of gifts applies anymore. Raise your hand if you've heard somebody say that. Have you heard that teaching before? Universally around the world, if you talk about the spiritual gift of teaching, amen, that's a spiritual gift. The church needs it. If you talk about the spiritual gift of possibly wisdom or service, administration, yeah, great. We need those. We need those spiritual gifts. If you talk about the spiritual gift of prophecy, maybe. People wouldn't say we don't need that, but the line of reasoning is that some spiritual gifts have ceased. They have ceased to exist. They were only present for the early church. And just so I don't confuse anybody, I don't believe that. Living Hope doesn't teach that. We don't believe the spiritual gifts have ceased. We don't believe any of them have ceased. But that line of thinking, and you, I think I used this word a couple weeks ago, people that believe that, that particular doctrine is called cessationism, I believe, or those people are called cessationists, the root word being ceased. Those gifts have ceased. So that has impacted these particular gifts. What about these, the ones that are listed here? Now, there's no way that I either have time or will take time this morning to do an in-depth teaching on every single one of these. But I want to cover them all to a degree. And this is my objective. This is my objective in looking at this first part, is that we as individuals and we as a church would be open to the full range of what the Holy Spirit wants to do through us. Okay? Cheryl, you're sitting there. I appreciated what I've heard you say several times where Cheryl has said in my hearing, we are not seeking the gifts, right? We are seeking the giver. So we have to always emphasize that. This teaching this morning is not about getting you all excited about, wow, I want this one particular gift. That sounds really awesome. Or I want this one. No, remember, spiritual gifts are spiritual. We are seeking Christ. We are seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But in so doing, let's not create obstacles where we are actually saying to the Spirit, no, I don't think that's like actually real anymore. If it's of God, I want it. If it's something that God wants to release, I pray that we're ready to receive it, okay? So let's just go on through some of these. What I'm going to try to do with as many of them as I can, I can't with every single one, but I want to try to give you with as many as I can a contact point that I personally have had with that gift, okay? I mean, I could get books and tell you all kinds of things, but and my testimonies might not be quite as grand and glorious as evangelists who travel the world, but here we go. So we look at this list again, okay? So several of them here, if we look at starting at verse 8, we have the message of wisdom, the message of knowledge, and then a little bit further is mentioned prophecy. A little bit further is mentioned prophecy. So I would say this, I kind of lumped all those together this morning under this heading, whether it's a message of wisdom, a message of knowledge, or a message of prophecy, I would say you're basically speaking words that God gives you to speak. Does that make sense? If it's a message of wisdom, if it's a message of knowledge, if it's a word of prophecy, you're basically speaking for God. You're his mouthpiece, so to speak. A message of wisdom. What is the spiritual gift of a message of wisdom? I thought about a time a number of years ago where there was a group of leaders here at Living Hope trying to work through some particular issues and decisions and so forth. And one person in the group said, I believe we are trying to do a new thing an old way. And in that moment, there was just a sense of that's what God's saying. That's a message of wisdom from God. We didn't even understand it fully, but there was a sense of that is a message of wisdom. That's a message of wisdom. So that was, you know, I was present for that, and there was a sense of, yes, what is God saying there? What is a word of knowledge? A word of knowledge. That's a phrase that some of you are familiar with, a word of knowledge. I've tried over the past several years, when I have a baptism, when I baptize someone, I ask the Lord for a word for them, just something to encourage them or something to say to them that would be, you know, some kind of encouragement. And there are times when I baptize people I really don't know that well. Like they're part of Living Hope. I meet with them a few times and I baptize them. But I'm like, God, what can I say? I want something to be able to pray over them, to say over them. And God has been faithful. And what has been encouraging to me, especially with children, like I don't know the children of the, I mean, sure, I know your name. I'll give you a high five, but I don't know you that well. It's not like we hang out. You know, I don't know you that well, but there have been several instances where I felt like God gave me a word for a child that I was baptizing, and it was afterward the parent would come up to me. I remember specifically one young lady I was baptizing, and I felt like what the Lord said is she is a worshiper. She is a worshiper, so I just prophesied that over that, a word of knowledge, whatever you want to call that. I'm not real concerned about dicing and slicing these terms. But her mom came to me later and she said, you don't realize how accurately you described her. And I'm like, that's awesome because I don't know the first thing about her. There was another time where I felt like God gave me for another young person the word strength. You are strong. And her mom came to me and said, you have no idea. You have no idea how strong she is. And I could give several of those, but you know, to me, like I can't come up with that stuff. It's just something where I have to ask God, you know. But there are people, I believe, that walk to a greater degree, they just have that spiritual gift. a word of knowledge. God will give them a word of knowledge. But that's something, it's some kind of knowledge that you would not have on your own. You'll hear many testimonies about that. Someone will offer to come up to pray for someone, and they'll start praying specifics over them that connect directly with their circumstances, and they've never met this person before. That's a word of knowledge. Prophecy. This has been, a lot of years ago, probably 2003. No. Longer than that. In the late 90s. This was 1997 or 1998. The church that I was going to at the time, the church I was born and raised in, we were connecting with some other churches in men's ministry. We had gone to some Promise Keepers events, and we had planned to do like a little regional men's thing. Got like three or four churches together. It was a Saturday morning get together. You know, it's just going to be like a men's morning, kind of like a Promise Keepers feel to it, like challenging men. We had a worship band and everything like that. And I was serving on the worship team that morning. And I don't remember the details. I don't even remember why, but I was asked to just say a couple words at the end of the time or near the end. I don't even remember. But I guess I just shared a couple things, and I asked men to gather at the front for a time of prayer. And we had a good turnout. You know, men came up. We were praying for each other. So the meeting was over. Two different people within about 10 minutes of one another that I did not know very well. I had learned to know them a little bit. The first one came up to me, and he said, "This is a word from the Lord. You are to be a pastor." Now, I wasn't a pastor at the time. I should have clarified that. I was not a pastor at the time. And he said, "You are to be a pastor." So I'm like, I can't hear you. And literally within like 5 minutes, another man came up. And he didn't use exactly, but he said, "Ron, there is a calling to be a pastor on your life." Now, to me, that was, was that a prophetic word? I would call that a prophetic word, perhaps. It was maybe looking to the future. Was it a word of knowledge? Again, we can maybe assign different terms to it. But what did I do with that? Well, I didn't go out and quit my job the next day and start putting a resume together to become a pastor. But when someone speaks a word like that to you, if you're able, you receive it. And you store it. You remember it says in Scripture about Mary, how she would treasure these things. She would ponder them. She would treasure them in her heart. To me, that's what you do. Let me just throw this in there. You might ask the question, how do I know when someone speaks something to me, like it's a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or some type of prophetic thing? How do I know if it's like really real, or how do I know? We could probably get a lot of different answers for that. But for me, if I have the Holy Spirit in me and someone else comes by the power of the Spirit and says something to me, do you know what it means to resonate? When something resonates, and I can't give you a engineering description. When you start studying resonance and all that, it gets very complicated. I tried in 5 minutes this morning. I wasn't able to do it. But all I can say is, like when someone said in one of our leadership meetings, we're trying to do a new thing in old way, it resonated. There was this sense of which I knew that God was speaking. I didn't really know exactly what that meant, but I knew God was speaking. And when these men both came to me, like I'm kind of joking by saying, la, 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 I can't hear you. Not completely joking, I'm kind of joking. but there was something that I didn't dismiss it. I'm like, okay, God, I'll receive that. Like, I'm just, okay, I've heard those words. And obviously it impacted, because I remember today. I can remember today what they said. So there was something that resonated within me. Back to this word of knowledge, something I wanted to say. Like I said, how I look for a word of knowledge when I'm praying for someone I'm baptizing. I was in the car with my son Chris yesterday, who told me just very briefly what he shared with me, a testimony he heard is of a young woman going through a lot of problems in her life. She got to the point where she decided she was going to commit suicide. She had the whole thing planned out. She had the day picked and everything. On that very day, again, jumping over a lot of details, her grandmother or aunt or someone basically drug her to a church service. Not quite physically drugged. She went along, but she really wasn't into it. She sat through a whole church service, nothing, dead, meaningless. And right at the end of the church service, the pastor said something to the effect of, "There is someone in this room who is going to commit suicide." And he called that out, and he stood against it in the name of Jesus. You can't prepare for that stuff. That kind of stuff isn't in the pastor's notes. That is something that the Holy Spirit does. He gives someone that word. He gives someone that insight. That is a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a word of prophecy. One more thing about prophecy. I read this a little while ago. I really appreciated this. Today, I say we. This is how I feel. I think I'd be speaking for all of us here at Living Hope. We don't view a prophetic word like the role of the prophet was viewed in the Old Testament. Like the prophet spoke the words of God, and you didn't challenge a prophet. I mean, that was an office. That was a very significant thing. Just very briefly, what helped me in understanding this was, you know, in the Old Testament, when a prophet would come into the presence of the king, so here sits the king, here's his, you know, royal people and whoever else is in the room. The prophet was the only guy in the room with the ability to hear God speak. Because in the Old Testament, people did not have the Holy Spirit. People were not able, normally, generally speaking, people were not able to hear the voice of the Lord. So they had to completely depend on a prophet. What has changed now is that if someone brings a prophetic word into a meeting or into a small group or into just a private conversation, the person receiving the word also has the ability to hear the Holy Spirit. So that's why Paul says that when a prophecy is given, it can be what? It can be tested. It can be tested. Does that mean you're neglecting the gift of? No, that doesn't mean you're, what's the word I'm looking for? It's no disrespect to the person giving the word, but since we all have the Holy Spirit, we take a prophetic word and we say, okay, God, what are you saying here? Because we all have the ability to hear the Holy Spirit. So, okay. Faith. Another gift listed here is faith. I think the gift of faith is just simply that unshakable confidence that God can do this. God will do this. I've looked at seasons in our lives. I would not say I have this consistent gift of faith. I certainly wish it was greater than it is. But I just reflected on the time that Molly and I made a decision in 1998 to sell our house in Chester County. We felt the Lord was calling us to Lancaster County to become a part of a church that didn't even exist yet. And we decided to sell our house, get our kids, move to Lancaster County, where we didn't really know anybody here other than the few people that were planting this church. And have you ever heard the statistics about how many church plants actually succeed and remain churches? It's far less than half. So I'm sure there were some people looking at us and were saying, really, you're going to sell your house, you're going to relocate your whole family, you don't really know anybody up there to become a part of a church that doesn't even exist yet, that may completely fail within the first 12 to 18 months. Then you will have relocated your family for something that doesn't even exist, you know, yada, yada, yada. I'm sure you could have raised all those objections, but in this journey, I know, we simply had the faith that this was God was calling us to do. We didn't know ultimately what would happen with the church, which is this church, by the way. We didn't ultimately know, but all we needed to know was that God was calling us. We had faith. Yes, this is what we're called to do, and we were able to put the house on the market, sell the house, buy a house here, the whole deal. Now, I know that's not a grand and glorious story of faith, but I know you all have them of times when God said to you, this is what it is, and this is what I'm saying. But faith, the gift of faith, the gift of healing. Now, there's another one that, depending who you ask, that's not really happening anymore. Healing was in the early church. How many of you were here the Sunday that Dave and Carol were here? When I interviewed Dave just about a month ago or so, when he was talking about how God was changing some things in their lives, moving them to Florida. Part of that testimony was the journey that Carol has come through with a cancerous tumor here behind her ear that was removed. She went through, you know, all the radiation treatments, all that stuff, and now she had been given basically a clean bill of health. However, within the couple weeks leading up to the time when Dave was sitting here on this stage, Carol began having what are called optical migraines. Peg, you would know that is. An optical migraine. I can't explain it a whole lot more than that, but it was related to her one eye, and she was having tremendous headaches. And the doctors had looked at it. They couldn't really find anything out of order as far as her eye or with her brain or the surgery site or anything like that. They thought it had something to do with maybe the prescription changing in her eye. Anyway, that morning before Dave spoke, after worship, as worship was winding down, Richard Reed came up, and I don't know if any of you remember that. Do you remember what Richard Reed did as worship was winding down? He came up, and he said something to the effect of, I believe there's anointing for healing. Is that close? Something like that. I believe there's an anointing for healing here right now. So anybody wanted healing, physical healing, was invited to come forward, and a number of people did. One of them was Carol, specifically for this optical headache thing. So Rick prayed a prayer. It wasn't a real long prayer. It was relatively simple. You know, we had some people stand with them. We prayed for healing, that God would touch these individuals with healing. Carol hasn't had an optical headache since. She hasn't had one since. Now, I guess you can try to explain that away somehow, but it's pretty simple to me. God healed her. That was a gift of healing. Now, is that specifically the gift of healing working in a single person, or was that just simply God had prompted Rick through that? You know, again, I'm not really concerned about dicing all that out. I believe there are people that God does give the gift of healing, where God uses them consistently and repeatedly in seeing others healed through their prayer. I think it's closely related to the gift of faith. Those two are usually very tightly intertwined. But that's a gift of healing. Miraculous powers. We see that a lot in the New Testament. I'm not sure exactly what else to say about that one. I mean, miraculous powers were just anything where someone is able to pray or speak something into occurrence that would not naturally happen. Some type of miraculous power. Distinguishing between spirits. What is the gift of distinguishing between spirits? It's just a sensitivity, I believe, that God gives people to be able to distinguish, you know, not every spirit is of God, and not everything that's happening is of God. Again, for me, I was in a prayer gathering here not too long ago. It wasn't on a Sunday morning, but I was in a prayer gathering, and one person got up and started to pray and started to speak. And it's not someone who comes to Living Hope. It's someone who was just kind of passing through that particular time. And you know the thing about something resonating? This wasn't resonating. As a matter of fact, the opposite was happening. I was feeling very uncomfortable as this person was speaking and as they were praying. And I'm like, Lord, something is wrong here. Something is out of place. And in that moment, I think I was discerning that there was a spirit in operation that wasn't the Holy Spirit. I didn't know, but I was just this thing of like, man, something isn't right here. And I didn't have to do anything. It wasn't like a big public thing. I just kind of stood there and prayed. And as a few weeks went by, in just different circumstances, I learned that, yeah, there were a number of things that were quite out of place in that person's life. That doesn't mean they weren't able to pray, but I could just sense that. Some of the things that they were saying and some of the things that they were praying just did not ring true to me. It didn't feel like they were really speaking from a true place. The discernment of spirits. And then the other two that are on the list yet, the speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. Again, depending who you ask, there's no time of day for that. You know, that was something in the very early church that doesn't happen anymore. And again, you've heard us talk about this different times, but speaking in tongues generally is looked at in two different ways, where people are actually given the ability to speak in a language that is not their own. If I would go into Arbor Park and I were to begin witnessing to someone in the Spanish dialect, first of all, that would be awesome. But second of all, I would not do that out of my natural ability because I can't speak Spanish. So that would be, and you remember on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were able to do that. When the Holy Spirit came, the disciples there began speaking in many, many different languages, known languages, and that people in the crowd could hear the glories of God declared in their own language. That's one example. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. And people talk about another expression of speaking in tongues where you're given a prayer language, where you're just given a language that is not even necessarily known. It's certainly not known to you. I have heard testimonies recently, I've heard these numerous times, that someone received a prayer language by the Holy Spirit. And through some circumstance, they came in touch with someone who said to them, do you realize you're praying in a certain language? Like you're praying, it's actually a known language. That those syllables, things you're saying, that's actually a known language. Now again, I know this is a subject that can freak people out. And I think there have been times where it's been overemphasized, but Paul talks about it numerous times. One of the things I think he's doing in 1 Corinthians, he's actually, the Corinthians apparently were really hung up on speaking in tongues. This was a huge deal to them. And Paul de-emphasized it a bit. He did not eliminate it because he said, do not forbid speaking in tongues. But for those of you who are saying, you know, that's never something I've experienced, for me, what it was for me is I simply said, God, if you want me to have that, I want to receive it, you know. And it was a very laid back and relaxed thing for me. I wasn't pushing for anything. And God did give me a prayer language. I know many very committed believers who have not experienced that yet, or have not experienced that. So again, that's just one of those gifts that are listed here. What's the bottom line for me, for this part? We must not lock the Holy Spirit out of the exercise of spiritual gifts. We can't remove the Holy Spirit. I have a couple things here that are in your notes. Let me just hit these quickly. All spiritual gifts are charismatic gifts. What I mean by that is if you read definitions of different groups of spiritual gifts in the Bible, people refer to the 1 Corinthians 12 set of gifts as charismatic gifts. Like they're for charismatic people. All spiritual gifts are charismatic gifts. If the gift isn't empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's not a spiritual gift. Hello? If a gift isn't empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's not a spiritual gift. So it doesn't matter whether it's speaking in tongues or whether it's teaching. It doesn't matter if it's healing or if it's service. They're all spiritual gifts, and they're empowered by the Holy Spirit. So in the technical sense, they're all charismatic gifts. And I would just suggest this yet. The gifts that seem to make us most uncomfortable are the ones that require the most divine influence. We're very comfortable with things that we can do on our own, things that we can, you know, kind of figure out. But when it comes to a word of knowledge, you can't do that on your own. You can't study and prepare and read some commentaries and come up with a word of knowledge. It doesn't work that way. A word of knowledge is complete and utter dependence on the Holy Spirit to speak that forth. So, I think we're going to leave part two till next Sunday. I'd have to rush through it at this point, and I don't think we're supposed to do that. I think we're just supposed to stay at this place just a little longer. Part two is about the body. I will say this, just briefly. When you read Romans 12, where Paul talks about spiritual gifts, we studied that in the context of redemptive gifts, and then 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul talks about spiritual gifts. In both instances, he also included the analogy of the body, the human body, and describing the church's body. I don't think it was an accident, because Paul was trying to impress on us that when we talk about spiritual gifts, we're talking about something that's given to us for the body, not for the individual. I've said this numerous times. Your spiritual gift is not for you, and it's not about you. It's to be used in the context of the body. We'll get into that more next week. We'll get into that more next week when we talk about the body and when we're going to want to begin to apply that to Living Hope. So this is how I think we'll close this morning. I've spoken long enough. I want to make an opportunity. We're going to do two things to close the service. First of all, I want to make an opportunity for any one of you that's here that would simply like to say this morning that you have been operating more in the natural than in the spirit. And you desire spiritual gifts. It's not necessarily even saying that you don't have any, it's just operating in the spiritual gifts requires the influence of the Holy Spirit. That flows out of time with God, time spent with Him, renewal, re-energized in the Holy Spirit. I think I said this last week. I can't remember what I say from week to week, but the operation of a spiritual gift, it doesn't matter what it is. It is carried forth by the anointing of the Spirit. Too often, we use the phrase, oh, that preacher or teacher was anointed. There was an anointing, or that worship team has an anointing on them. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say, that person setting up those chairs has an anointing on them. We kind of differentiate between like the really cool, awesome gifts. Those are like the gift of service, nah. The gift of administration, nah. The gift of, you know, helps, administration, whatever. No. Everything we do in the spiritual realm that is a spiritual gift must have the anointing of God on it. That's how it works. So for those of you who are currently exercising your spiritual gifts in whatever way it is, I mean, we see people up here on the worship team. Now, music or singing is not specifically identified as a spiritual gift, but again, God can anoint us and gift us in any kind of way that He chooses. But walk that out in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If you have a role as a children's minister, prepare for that time in the class and walk into that classroom, walk into that life group, believing that you are doing so under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and it is a ministry you're called to, not something you just do in the flesh, okay? So I said there was going to be two things. I'm just going to ask you to stand, that's all. We're just going to pray that God would continue to release the work of His Holy Spirit in our lives, whatever He wants that to look like, spiritual gifts, a new hunger for Him, a new passion for prayer, a new commitment to spend time with Him, whatever it is. I'll just pray for you. And then as we close, I'm just going to make an opportunity for anyone who feels they have a word to share with the body this morning about this topic primarily, something you want to share, not like a big teaching, but if you feel like the Lord is giving you a word, something that He wants to bring clarity to this discussion about spiritual gifts and walking under the anointing of the Spirit, I want to make room for that. So let's start with prayer. If you would like this morning just to ask the Lord for more of the anointing of the Holy Spirit to work through you, to flow through you, I'm just going to ask you to stand, and then I'll pray for you. I'm reminded, God, of what Moses said to you at one point. He said, if you will not go with us, don't send us up from here. And God, we pray the same thing this morning. If you will not go with us, don't send us up from here. We want to walk, to live, to serve by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ as our Savior and we receive the Holy Spirit, that is primarily for the purpose of enabling us. We know the Spirit's described in different ways, a teacher, a comforter, a counselor. But God, you also say through Paul in Romans that if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, He will bring life to our dying bodies, to our mortal bodies. So God, we pray this morning, I pray specifically for each individual that's standing right now for a new release, a new empowerment of the Holy Spirit in their lives, whatever it is, God. You know what you want to give them. You know what you want to release. You know what you want to strengthen. You know what you want to purify. God, I pray for that thing in the name of Jesus, that you would release anointing of the Holy Spirit, that you would release anointing of the Holy Spirit in their lives, God, in ways that they will know it's you, in ways that it will be visible. Strengthen them to walk in obedience, God, as you begin to speak and move and work in their lives. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. I'm just curious, is there anyone that has a word yet? You know, we talk about a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy, a word of wisdom. Anybody have anything they want to share yet this morning before we close? I can even bring the mic to you. You can come on up, Brian.
Well, I appreciate the word here. God's trying to get us to shift our orientation. Normally we work from body, soul, and spirit. I wake up in the morning, I take my shower because I'm sweaty, I'm whatever, and I feed this body and do all that stuff. And then I talk to my lovely wife and move on to things, I pray, and engage my spirit. God would really like us to be spirit first. We wake up, wow, hi God, how are you doing today? And then start our day walking in the spirit, taking care of this body, relating to each other. It's a nice reorientation to be spirit first. And I love the way it's being done here in a relaxed, calm way.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, thanks, Brian. I appreciate that. We're a culture that leads with the body, and leads with the mind. This is a bit of a challenge and a bit of an encouragement to kind of follow up on what Mike preached a few weeks ago, and that is that these gifts are developed, nurtured, matured by spending time in the presence of the Father. If you want this, James says to ask. You ask and he will give it. But you have to want it and you have to be willing to make the sacrifice to get it. So it's pressing into God. The other thing is, when these gifts start to stir in you and you tend to want to ignore it, don't do that. Trust it. Trust God. Be willing to make a mistake and believe that your God is big enough to cover anything that you might say or do wrong. God has taken us down a road that is unfamiliar to a lot of us. He wants us to become comfortable in it, comfortable in him, so that we can be the church that he's called us to be.
Thank you. Anyone else?
God just keeps impressing upon me that these gifts are ones that he wants to have flow through us like a vessel. But there is so much of us in the way of, in that kind of the middle of the pipe, that when he wants to give us a gift, unless we are going to surrender who we are and the sin that we so easily commit, I so easily commit, our own desires and our own priorities, unless those go away, he doesn't have a space to put those gifts to flow through. So I think the call is really the emptying out of who we are so that God can really put those gifts in us to see the body come to life the way he desires. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Carol. Thanks.
Last weekend was a men's retreat up near Carlisle. And I was looking for some of the men in the morning, where they were, and I come in contact, decided to say hi to these two Hispanic men. Turned out they're from a church in Lancaster. And it's like God has spoken to me to talk to these men. And they invited me to the service that night. The rest of the men that were part of our group came in there. But the message was about brokenness. And I don't know if people remember, I gave a testimony towards the tail end of last year about that God had given me a message about my father was a victim of the evil one. And he showed me how to love him, something I would have considered impossible. But the message that night strengthened me so much, and I felt the Holy Spirit directed me to talk to these two men, the men to invite me to this service, and a service to have such a spiritual meaning. They were just such a blessing. I praise God for this. Thank you, God.
Thanks, Mike.
It seems like I wasn't going to share, but it seems like God is bringing this up over and over and over in my life, too. And I don't know the timing. I don't know the details. He didn't give me that. But to call the body to a time of worship and prayer. Just, and I have no idea what will happen, but it's so strong that I can't deny it. And I think this is appropriate to share now. He's given me visions, pictures, everything that goes with it. But just the congregation meeting together, children, everyone, for a time of worship and prayer, and let God be God.
You'll hear more about that. God is clearly stirring that. Multiple places it keeps popping up that we are entering a season of prayer and fasting. You added worship, absolutely. So you'll hear more about that already next week. So anybody else? Oh.
Just want to give a little encouragement that when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that is that those gifts are released out of an intimacy that we have with him. The more time we spend, the more we're connecting, the easier it is that we're going to hear or we're going to know when God wants to do something. But I believe with all of my heart that every one of these gifts that Pastor Ron shared with us today out of the scriptures are still relevant and active and operating today in the kingdom, and they always will. They are available. Every one of those gifts can flow through every single one of us whenever the Spirit would dictate. So it's not like, oh, only you can move in the gift of knowledge or the words of wisdom. No, it can happen at any given moment, and it's about us yielding and being surrendered. And the more intimate we are with him, the more time we spend with him in prayer, in worship, at just sitting at his feet, not always doing, but listening, the more we will become comfortable and the more that we'll know when we get that nudge to lay hands on someone because they need a healing. And every one of those gifts are available to every single one of us. It's just a matter of how well do we know him, how well are we listening, and how obedient are we. Let's not grieve him by saying, I'm not going to do that.
Anyone else? All right. Well, Father, we look to you. We acknowledge again this morning that the church is to move forward by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And God, as long as we are walking and serving in our own human strength, we are unable to do that. So God, I pray that you would continue to release the anointing of your Holy Spirit on this congregation. Release the gifts, Father. Release the gifts. Not for us, not for our sake, not that we can become known or any one of us can become known as a person with this gift or that gift. It's as Carol said, the gifts are given to flow through us. They're not about us. They're not for us. The gifts are given to be exercised in the body and for the blessing of other people. So we pray, Holy Spirit, you would continue to do your work and draw us more and more to a place of time spent with you, surrender to you, worship and adoration and prayer, God, that you can do all you want to do in our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Thank you for being with us this morning. Next Sunday, we're going to talk more about the body and this connection, this link between spiritual gifts and the body. So God bless you. Have a good day.